with me on his mind. With me on his mind. You know, the people chanted, "Give us Barabbas." And they said, "Crucify Jesus." Barabbas went away scot-free. And I wondered what happened to Barabbas. But when I look in the mirror, I say, "There he is. There's Barabbas, the crook, the murderer, the thief that should have died on the cross, but a righteous man died for him." You don't find nowhere where they found Barabbas and said, "What happened?" No, we're Barabbas. We're the one that he died for. He took our place on the cross. And we should be ever grateful. Because he died, but he rose again. On the third day. With all power. All power. Now, we've been giving the devil power, but we got to say God has all power in his hand. Hallelujah. In his hand. And if the power is in his hand and we're in the body, wherever the pain is, all you got to do is, you know how when you have pain in the body, you put your hand wherever the pain is. Wherever the pain is, you know how to put the hand there. And what God is saying is that we have to work as a body. And we got to know what the power, if the power is in his hand, let's move this body to the place where we can get healing to begin operating in the body. And I believe tonight God will heal somebody. I believe that he'll deliver somebody tonight. It only takes faith in God. You see, when you have faith, we always tell people have faith, but we don't tell them where to put that faith. Because faith, the value of faith is in the object in where you have faith in. So you have to say, "I have faith in God." And people tell you to have faith in yourself. Believe in yourself. That's the way of the world. No, I believe in God. I believe in God. Hallelujah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Proverbs 4 and 7. Proverbs 4 and 7. We want to launch from this verse. And if you'll turn to 4 and 7, say amen.
Amen.
and begin reading now.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, one of these most important issues in life has to do with and deal with wisdom. One of these interesting and certainly most profitable realities come out of this word wisdom. And I think the people of God will certainly be wiser to look into this thing called wisdom. Because wisdom will do for us what riches can't do for us. Wisdom will do for us what fame can't do for us. Wisdom can do for us what friends and family can't do for us. And so I believe it is God's desire for every man, somebody say every man, to have wisdom. As a matter of fact, James said, listen, God gives freely to every man that asks him for wisdom. He wants you to have wisdom. Why? Because if you have wisdom, you'll have a hear or an understanding of God's word. If you have an understanding of God's word, you'll have an understanding of God's will. If you have an understanding of God's will, you'll have an understanding of God's way. And I think it's important that you recognize as children of God that you have the wisdom of your Heavenly Father. You're His earthly children. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants us to have the kind of wisdom that when we walk in this earth realm, it's reflective of our relationship with Him. Let me help you understand. The writer of this word here, the author of this word, is Solomon. Now, Solomon, it's important to understand that his father David had a wonderful relationship with God, and he was a man who sought after God's own heart. He was a man who loved to be in communion with God. Why? So he could hear intimately the word or the wisdom of God. And so through the wisdom of his father, instilling the ideal in him that he must get wisdom and operate in wisdom. And that way he'll be blessed of God because wisdom is truly knowing God. Simple as that. Wisdom is truly knowing God. You can't know God outside of his word. So you need to get in his word, because during those days, God spoke audibly to men, just like I'm speaking to you now. But in these days, he is speaking through the divinely inspired written word of God. It's the same word he spoke. And he backs up this word. And that's why it's important for you to know this word, so that God can back up his word. And he can't do what he didn't say he would do. Because if he didn't say it, it don't, listen, if God don't say it, it don't matter to God. In other words, you need to recognize that he's under warrant only to back up what he said. Not what somebody else said, not what you say, not what I say, but what he said. And when we say what he say, guess what he does? He gets excited. Jesus. Listen to that boy speak that word. Listen to my daughter tell. Tell that devil. Tell that devil what I said. He wants, listen, we are his children. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? He used the word of God. He teaches us how to use the word of God. The only talking we ought to do to the devil is with the word of God. It is. Now, if you have conversations outside the word of God, we need to pray for you. You need deliverance. Amen. Because whatever the devil got to tell you, you need to say, it is written. Written. Now, let me help you understand something else. Rita, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, I want to give you a little background understanding on this word wisdom, because here Solomon is saying wisdom is the what?
Principal
thing. Now, before I go there, I want you to understand something. I want you to spell principle in this verse. Spell it for me right quick. All right, that word principle means the person in charge or at top or the headmaster of a school. In other words, it's the first person in charge. It's the person who's highest in charge. He is the principal. Just like in our regular schools now, in the school, I'm not talking about in the district, in the school, the principal is the highest authority. So I need you to keep this in mind. Now notice the word is not spelled with the P-L-E, which has to do with law and facts and guidance and rules, principle. Uh-huh. That there's a difference between the principles. They sound alike, but they're very different. So if it's saying the principal or pal, the P-A-L, then it means it's talking about a person. But when it says P-L-E on principle, it's talking about a principle and a precept. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if it really should read like this, wisdom is the principal one, not thing. P-L-E would be wisdom is the principal thing. I'm trying to help us understand here now. Remember when this word was written translated by King James, they didn't have an extensive vocabulary. And again, the understanding of words make a difference in how we perceive or understand them. And so if you don't realize that there is a major difference between principal and principle, then you're going to miss what I'm trying to help you understand. It's talking about the highest person in this situation. Now, here's the next thing I need you to understand. This principle really goes back to Jesus. He's the principle. Well, where do you find that? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the what? And that's Jesus. And the word Jesus was what? With God. And the word Jesus? All right. So now you need to understand that Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is the person. All right. Philippians 2:9. I want you to read that so you can see that, to help you understand the principal is Jesus. See, wisdom outside of Jesus ain't wisdom. I'm trying to teach a little bit for you, to help you. If y'all would be at Lunch and Learn, I wouldn't have to labor so hard. All right, Philippians 2 and 9. Do you have it? Read it. Wait, stop. Philippians 2 and 9. Do you have it? All right, I'm going to wait till someone will catch up with us. Some of them that sat there and closed their Bibles, turned it off, and texted, and maybe forgot what they're doing. I'm trying to. Philippians 2 and 9. Do you have it? All right, read. Amen. Can you understand Jesus is the principle? All right, praise God. Now, let's go to 1 Kings, reader, chapter 3, begin at verse 5, if you don't mind.
1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, ask what I shall give thee.
Mm.
Verse 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne.
Yes, yes.
As it is this day. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in.
Yes.
Verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Mm-hmm. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?
Yes.
Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord.
Go ahead.
That Solomon had asked this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment.
Yes.
Verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy word.
Mm-hmm.
Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked.
That's right.
Both riches and honor.
Uh-huh.
So that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days.
All right. Keep reading.
Verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days.
Yes.
Verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream.
Mm.
And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, Rita. Now listen at this, and I want you to get these principles that are already in place and why. You know, we always put the cart before the horse.
I'm trying to have you to understand that if you do things decently and in order, how many things have you asked for the Lord he still has not given to you? God is too wise of a God to give us stuff we can't handle. If you're not doing this right, what makes you think you'll do that right? God wants you to understand that you should put him first. He is his word. Now, in Proverbs 4, it gives a feminine connection with wisdom as her and she, because it's talking about that knowledge and that understanding that comes from the wisdom of God. Jesus is the word, and he is the word of wisdom. And wisdom is like a mother. It'll talk to you. Now, you know, you don't, that's not right. You know, the Lord says, do this, not do that. It's like a mother. It'll instruct you. It'll encourage you. And it'll even get on you and tell you, convict you through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's wrong. See, that's what wisdom does for you. But he asked the Lord for wisdom, that's understanding in that sense. He asked him for discernment. Discernment. Why? So that he could judge his people as the king. He didn't ask him for long life. He didn't ask him for riches. He didn't ask him, kill my enemy. See, I need you to know, your enemy is a help to you if you know how to handle your enemy. Because every enemy you handle right, God puts that enemy under your feet. So consequently, your enemy become your stepping stool or footstool. And the reason you can't get higher than your enemy is because you keep trying to get even with your enemy. If you handle them right through wisdom and discernment, then your judgment will be better. Listen, there are some folk, the Bible tells you, don't argue with a fool. But you got to have the wisdom enough to know when you're talking to a fool. Because a fool is one who don't care, don't know, and don't care that he don't know. And nothing you can say can change that. So you say, good day, God bless you, see you later. Not trying to change their mind, because, listen, they don't have not a mind of God, not a mind of Christ. So you don't sit there arguing with folk and going through all of that. Now, so those are the things, listen. This man asked not of God when God said, tell me what you want. Yes. If he had asked us, tell us what you want. Lord, I want a big house. I want a better job. Matter of fact, Lord, I don't want a job. I want to win the lottery. So I won't ever have to work again. And the stuff we would ask God for, if he gave it. How many of you know that the record has shown that everybody, I just want to throw this out for fact, that has won the lottery, less than 10% of them did anything with the earnings that they still have, or their lives were so miserably impacted that they wish they had not won. Why? Because they didn't have the wisdom to do the right thing with the money. Somebody say, well, you know, that money is sin. Well, they got a lot of money y'all bring here, that's sin. But see, wisdom says this. Listen, money is not evil. It's the love of money that's easy. It's the people. Listen, money is neither good nor bad, but rather a servant. It's natural. That same $20 that was in the club last night could make its way to church this morning. That same $20 that was used for the devil last night can be used for the Lord today. You don't know who had the money you got in your pocket before you got it in your pocket. But did you bless it? No, you just went on with, I'm gonna pay this, I'm gonna do this. You know why? Because that was not your spirit connected with that money. And once that money left the person's hand, that spirit on that money was no longer in his or her control. It became the control of the person who received it. Why do you think the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? So is he, Luke 12:21, that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich, what? Toward God. You see, God doesn't have a problem with you having the treasures. He has a problem with what you do with the treasures. And wisdom will tell you, take care of God first. Now let me ask you one fundamental question. How many of those persons who won lotteries do you think paid tithe of all their winning?
Come on now, come on now.
See, that's the problem right there. And let me throw out something that might shock you. If you win it, because you don't think you got a foolish pastor who don't think you don't play the lottery sometimes, especially when it get big. What's the difference between it being 20 million and 1 billion, 550 million? What's the difference? But would you pay your tithe if you got your hands on that money? That's the difference. And see, here's what God knows. You're lying. You don't even pay tithe off what you got right now. You're lying. What makes you think? What does the Bible say? He that is faithful in what? Little is faithful in what? In much. If you're not doing the right thing now, what makes you think you're going to do the right thing later? Let me give you this illustration, because I see right now, you know, y'all ain't with me on this. But I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Listen, the fact that he asked God for this wisdom, this understanding, this discernment, this ability to judge properly, in other words, to do what God would have done in the same situation, is the judgment connected here. Right after this, in verse 16, two harlots were brought before him. These were not women of great esteem. These were not noble women. These were street women who both had a baby. And they came before him, and they began to make their claim. The one woman on the right told the judge, "Judge, we had a baby 3 nights ago, and while I was asleep, this woman came and took my baby, and she kept him and took her dead baby and put on my breast while I slept. And she said, you know, at night I didn't discern it, but the next morning when I got up, I recognized this was not my baby. And this woman switched babies with me." Now let me show you how keen and powerful motherhood is. That baby wasn't but 3 days old. And that woman knew her baby had already known and seen certain things about that child that allowed